All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry, a Chief Warrant Officer number 2 type during the Vietnam era, the helicopter pilot in 1969. I want to welcome you to Veterans Radio today. Today is our monthly benefits program. So if you have any questions, give us a call here at 734-822-1600, 734-822-1600, or you can call us toll-free at 844-838-1600. 844-838-1600. If that number doesn't work or you get my cell phone, that means a call forwarding did not work. So call that 734-822-1600 number. But we've got a couple of questions that we've already received from our listeners out there, so we'll be talking about that. Our guests today are in the studio. I've got Michael Smith, who happens to be the county executive for our Veterans Service Office here in Washtenaw County. Michael, welcome back.
Dale, always good to be here in the studio with you.
It's always good. And on the phone, we've got our favorite general, General Carol Ann Falzone, with Legal Help for Veterans, Veterans Advocate Personified. Welcome back, General.
Thank you very much, Dale. And hello, Michael.
Hello to you. Long time no see.
I know, my friend.
All right. Well, I'll be getting right back to you folks. We've got a lot of things that we want to talk about that have been occurring at the VA over the last month. And actually, we got a couple of emails, as I mentioned earlier, and I wanted to bring those up shortly. But I want to remind our audience that we are brought to you through the generosity of our good friends at Legal Help for Veterans. And we are also sponsored by the American House in Westland, Michigan. It says American House Westland Vinoy offers affordable senior living options for senior ages 55 and older, and they've got special room just for you if you are a homeless veteran. I want to really bring that out today. I was talking to the owner the other day, and he says if you are a homeless veteran, to give these folks a call, and they will do everything they can to get you into one of their rooms there. This is the Westland Vinoy. The phone number, write it down now, 734-326-7777, 734-326-7777. And what they will do is they will do everything they can to get you into an apartment at the American House Westlands Vinoy. You really got to take advantage of that if you're having issues with, you know, what's happening there. The other organization that I wanted to mention is one that you'll hear, that you've heard many times here on Veterans Radio, and that's called Veterans Matter. And Veterans Matter is a nonprofit organization that is out of Toledo, Ohio, and what their goal is to help veterans get in, again, homeless veterans get into apartments and places to live. And what happens is, and Michael maybe can verify this for me, is that if a homeless veteran comes into the VA and the VA can find housing for them, then they can move in. But unfortunately, the VA doesn't provide them with the deposits that sometimes owners and landlords want. Am I correct on that?
Well, there are certain funding sources that they do have access to. Like here in Washtenaw County, we use our Veterans Relief Fund to work with the Healthcare for Homeless Veterans program, secure the security deposits and first month's rent that they need to get into that housing. I believe our partners here in Toledo that you're referring to do the same thing.
Okay. Well, I know that Ken Leslie is the guy, and they're trying to help veterans all across the country, and their goal was 1,000, to get 1,000 veterans into new homes in 1 year. Well, they ended up getting 2,500 into new homes, and that's in 20 states that they're active in. So that's 2,500 veterans, and their veterans' families now have a place called home because of the people that have donated to Veterans Matter. So we encourage you to go to the Veterans Matter website, that's veteransmatter.org, and help them out. What they've done is they've set up different levels that you can contribute and how much more, you know, how you can get involved with their organization and some for it. What I really like is that Ken signs this, his letter. He says this, Ken Leslie, just a guy like you just wants to get more heroes the homes they deserve. So go to Veterans Matter if you can and really help these folks out because they're doing a great job out there. And we really appreciate the work that they put out. All right, we're going to take a real quick break when we come back. We're going to be talking benefits. We're going to be talking about news that has been come out over the last month that's occurring at the VA, and hopefully answer some of your questions. So again, that number is 734-822-1600. We'll be right back after this. All right, we are back on Veterans Radio with our guest, Michael Smith from the Washtenaw County Veterans Service Office here, countywide office, and we're really lucky to have Michael in the studio. And on the line, we've got retired General Carol Ann Falzone with Legal Help for Veterans and just the Veterans Advocate of Veterans Advocates. So, Carol Ann, how are things up at Legal Help?
We're very busy, and that's a good thing, but we're out there to help our veterans, Dale. I know every time we talk, and we have the great privilege of seeing Michael and tons of veterans that came out for our 9th annual Veterans Summit, and I think it was the best ever, and we were really helping individuals with their own stories, helping them solve some of the issues. So, that's what we'll continue to do.
Well, I think that's great. And I one of the letters actually that we got this week, I forwarded it to you earlier this morning. I didn't know if we wanted to get into this, where one of our listeners actually did send you an email, and evidently you've been helping the gentleman out.
You know what? There is quite a few that don't understand and realize, what we can do for them. This was a new claim, and he had been fighting with the system for several years, and I think we were able to help. As Michael knows, the longer this goes on, our veterans give up. And I want to tell you, don't give up. And once again, don't throw paperwork away. An exam was missed, and when an exam is missed, and you don't jump on it, it's your appeal, your case is closed through the VA. So we were able to establish that the veteran did not get notice because of the new mail system. And therefore, the Detroit VA was extremely understanding. They rescheduled an exam, and this one veteran already got an award.
Yay. All right.
I know. It was pretty neat to see that it didn't take a year.
Yeah, that's one of the stories we're going to talk about later on, where they supposedly have settled 81,000 claims in the last, above last year. I'm wondering how many of those were positive settlements of things. But we've got
One second, and I don't know if Michael sees this, but the thing that's happening in the VA right now, which is a little concerning for us, is if it's a Michigan veteran, it doesn't necessarily mean anymore that the whole case is going to be adjudicated, processed in Detroit. We're seeing around the country that wherever your RO is, regional office, one DRO section might review it, and then it might be brokered to another place right away to review it and then do the award. So the tracking those, even if you're a Michigan veteran, you might not be in Michigan. The Detroit RO might not be deciding your fate. It might be another regional office. And we're seeing more and more of that, which is also causing some frustration to figure out what the VA is doing.
I understand that. Actually, we've got a phone call right now. I'm going to bring him on the line. This is Steve from Livonia, Michigan. Steve, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Well, thanks for taking my call. I don't know if this applies, but I was wondering if there's any push in Congress to help out the homeless veterans and Thanks for taking my call.
Okay, so the question, if I'm understanding it right, Steve, is there a federal government program to help homeless veterans?
Well, or is there any type of, since this is, I don't know if you can answer how long this has been kind of a crisis situation or not.
Okay, well, we'll try to answer your question. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thanks much.
All right, so, Michael, do you know anything about this?
Well, under the Obama, well, let's first think about homeless veterans. You know, I'm not real certain about news reporting and how accurate it is. There are people that do point in time studies each January to determine how many people are actually homeless, and then amongst that population, how many of them are veterans. There was a push called the Zero 2016 program, where they had communities that would come together and different community organizations come together to work together to set what they called their functional zero, knowing that once, say, for instance, you get a count and you've got 200 homeless veterans and you get all 200 of those homeless veterans housed, by the time you get that done, there's going to be more homeless veterans. So they basically said each community could identify what their functional zero was. So Washtenaw County was one of those communities that participated in that program. So did Kent County and several other counties around Michigan. This was a federal government mandate. There was money available. There were resources made available by different federal government agencies, all being coordinated by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. So our functional zero was 153 veterans. We literally housed in that year 143 veterans. The other 10 were processed and waiting, literally waiting for housing. So we didn't meet our functional zero that year, but the process worked. Now, Kent County, on the other hand, I want to say their functional zero was somewhere around 200 and something, and they actually housed close to 800 veterans, and they met and exceeded their functional zero in Kent County, and actually was the only county in Michigan to get their award. They were given an award and recognized nationally for meeting and exceeding their functional zero.
So do you think that most of the homeless solutions, I guess you could say, are really homegrown more than they come down, they come up from the local area, people, you know, just getting together and trying to help out as much as they can with, you know, the Veterans Matter, or in Michigan, we've also got this Fallen and Wounded Soldiers Fund that helps out.
Oh, yeah, Lynn Phillips and that organization is amazing. There's people who are very much aware of the homeless veteran situation, and so there are those nonprofit organizations, there are other for-profit organizations, all reaching out to work together and collaborate with the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs to end veterans homelessness, including the Supportive Services for Veterans and Families, the SSVF program. That's another federally funded program. Grant recipients, I believe ours is MAP, the Michigan Ability Partners, administers the SSVF grant here in Washtenaw County and Jackson County. OSHA administers the grant up in Livingston and Oakland counties. What that provides, so the Healthcare for Homeless Veterans program provides veterans with several things. Housing first, which is their model, meaning we're not going to require anything else to start happening for this veteran until we get him or her housed. Once they're housed, and if they use what's called the HUD-VASH voucher, that's in partnership with the Housing and Urban Development, or HUD, and VASH stands for VA Supportive Housing. So once that person is placed, they get 2 years of supportive services from the housing navigators at the VA's Healthcare for Homeless Veterans program. So it goes beyond just getting them housed. Mm-hmm. Now they're working with them on employment searches, resume writing, getting furniture, going back to school, making sure their health care is being coordinated correctly over at the hospital. So there's a whole lot of other things that they do during that 2 year supportive housing piece. Similarly, in the SSVF program, they house families, veterans and their families, and they pay their rents forward 5 months. And then during that same 5 month period, they provide those same types of supportive services, mm-hmm. like employment searches, making sure the kids get to school, and so, yeah, the two programs working together have really made an impact on veterans' homelessness.
Where do I go to begin the process? If I'm homeless, and I you know, I've heard that there are these programs are out there. Where do I start?
So there's some confusion about that because a lot of the people who are working in home in the area of homelessness and the funding sources from the federal government require that there be a single point of entry. So for Washtenaw County, it's HAWC, the Housing Alliance of Washtenaw County. Everybody tries to funnel them through HAWC, and then HAWC then gets them to the Delana Center for Housing, gets them to the VA's Healthcare for Homeless Veterans Program, and try to coordinate from that single point of entry. So each community, each county, has their own single point of entry. But that doesn't mean that a veteran can't go over to the VA hospital, present for health care, and then say, oh, by the way, I'm homeless and I'm going to need the supportive services of that program. Then those people will be linked up with the Healthcare for Homeless Veterans Program. Anybody can walk it to or contact MAP, Michigan Ability Partners, and talk to Eric, who is one of the program administrators for the SSVF program.
Okay. Caroline, do you have anything you'd like to add to that?
I thought Michael explained it extremely well. If we've got other listeners from any state in the country, I think the thing to do is look at your local Veterans Affairs office, but walking into a VA and explaining, like Michael said, and say that you're homeless is very critical. It's a resource that the VA is trying to address. And I will tell you, the caller, I attribute our numbers shrinking for homelessness and this effort to help our veterans all back to General Shinseki when he was the VA secretary. His whole goal was to get it down, and he started a lot of this recognition of helping, expediting a claim for a homeless person. I know we deal with it and multiple phone calls to keep reminding the regional office if we have a homeless veteran.
You know what? I'm really glad you brought that point up, General Fasson, because that is correct. General Shinseki made sure not only were there was the Healthcare for Homeless Veterans program properly funded and staffed, but similarly in the regional offices where they process claims, there is a homeless veterans coordinator. And that person's sole job is to make sure that if a veteran apply for compensation or pension, that those claims get adjudicated so they can get money in the pocket of that veteran. And that was the other thing that he made sure was functional. And we'll talk about the National Work Queue because General Fasson brought that up. When it comes to the National Work Queue for an initial compensation claim or a reopen claim, that is getting moved around in the National Work Queue. That claim is getting moved around five different times potentially. What is still remaining in-house are appeals. So all of our appeals are in Detroit and our special claims for homeless veterans, terminally ill veterans, and veterans who are claiming service connection for medical conditions related to military sexual trauma. Those three special types of claims remain in the regional offices of jurisdiction in the state.
Okay.
So. Well, Michael, but I got to tell you something. You're exactly correct, but I'm dealing with four right now that have gone from St. Pete up to Muskogee. One terminally ill. They're doing a phenomenal job, but they're not always staying. And another entity that should have stayed in the RO is all attorney related appeals, and we're seeing our stuff going all across the country. They said it doesn't matter anymore.
Well, I knew there was a move to get appeals to be processed in VBMS, and they're going to do away with VACLS, that old processing software.
What's that?
So VACLS is the special software that the VA uses to process appeals. And most of us do not have remote access to vehicles because that's a very closed system, and it's used to track the appeal. There's very limited information in there that lets you know, at what stage it's in, and sometimes they don't update the notes very well.
Well, we've got it. We got an email, and I don't remember if we had talked with him or not. I'm not going to give his whole name. It's just use Will here. And he was his email said that he had been molested repeatedly when he was in the service in 1973, and he's just having all kinds of issues right now. He's down in St. Mary's, Missouri. So my advice, and Will, is if you are listening, it sounds like, is to get to a VA, more than likely it looks like the St. Louis area VA, or to find some veteran service officer that you trust that can get your, you know, get your claim started, or at least, it said he needs help. He's even got a question here. He says, "I file for bankruptcy. I don't want you doing that." He says he can't pay his medical bills or anything along that line. So I don't know what to do for the poor guy, except I don't know if legal help would be willing to take the call from him or not.
Well, absolutely. Have him call the office tomorrow, talk to somebody. Don't do this by yourself. I mean,
right.
Here we go again. Get with an experienced veteran service officer. Call Legal Help for Veterans. We've had these before. And I know we have to start, get the medical records. Hopefully, and I pray to God that, 73 is not 53, but some of this was documented, that, he went to the medical squadrons, and he reported this. And those are the real critical factors that you need to see as you're trying to create this documentation and create this claim for a veteran.
Right. Yeah. I just got this morning, so I'm going to make sure that I get back to him, and I'm going to give him your guys' number here. And if you're listening, here's the phone number for Legal Help for Veterans. It's 800-693-4800. That's 800-693-4800. And if they can't help you right away, they'll point you in the right direction. And that's, I think one of the things that I want to kind of reiterate, or I guess really talk about before we take a break at the bottom of the hour, is to get all these men and women out there that haven't filed their claims, but they're not even in the VA system yet. And that's to get you into the system. And that means locate your DD-214 or something along those lines. I know people can help you find it. I know Michael is able to get access to them as long as you have magic Social Security numbers or service numbers and so on and so forth. But get yourself into the system right away as soon as you can, because once you're in, then you can start gathering all of this paperwork that Carol Ann was talking about. I know I've got file cabinets that seems like that are full of paperwork that I've located that were in boxes, and I'm trying to organize them.
Well, especially in this gentleman's case, you did share some of the elements of the email with me. And when it comes to military sexual trauma, there are several resources available to you. The vet centers. I don't know if you're near a vet center, but a VA vet center will provide free counseling for you for military sexual trauma or any of the mental health conditions that can result from military sexual trauma. Similarly, just like Dale was encouraging, if you got yourself enrolled in the VA healthcare system, that can take care of probably some of your other physical and mental health issues that you wrote about. But more importantly, they have each of those hospitals have an MST coordinator who is a social worker who specializes in military sexual trauma and the mental health disorders that result from it. And they have a team that includes a psychiatrist and a psychologist, and they also provide the counseling for the mental health disorders that result from military sexual trauma. What's important with that is that medical evidence can help support a claim for disability compensation for any of the mental health disorders that you may be diagnosed with that were resultant from your military sexual trauma. You alluded to PTSD. That's one of them. And it's very important that those medical pieces of evidence accompany any claim, because most MSTs go unreported. And so the VA has a special way that they process these claims. They look at the personnel records to see if the person went from a high performer to a poor performer, to see if there were any bad evaluations. All of a sudden this person's getting involved with military justice or civilian justice systems. And when those indicators are seen in the record without that military sexual trauma been reported, the VA will accept that those indicators or markers are indicative that something happened,
mm-hmm.
and it becomes the foundation or the basis upon which they can grant service connection.
Okay, Will, I want you to do that, and I'll send you an email this evening that will give you legal help veterans' phone number and reiterate some of the things that Michael just talked about. We're going to be taking a break for the news. Time's flying tonight. But we ask you to give us a call if you have a question. We'll be happy to try and answer it for you. The number is 734-822-1600. That's 734-822-1600. And we'll get to the bottom of whatever your question is. When we come back, we're going to talk about some other things that are going on at the local VA. It sounds like the VA's being pretty proactive recently. So we'll be right back after the news. We're back on Veterans Radio, and we're talking benefits today with Michael Smith from the Washtenaw County Office of Veterans Services and with retired General Carol Ann Falzone from Legal Help for Veterans. And I just got an email during the break from a gentleman in, where is he, Biloxi, Mississippi. Thanks for listening. You didn't leave a name, but that's okay. And I've heard this things before, and maybe one of you can answer a question here. It says, I was told I had gotten a reevaluation for a right knee at the Biloxi, Mississippi VA 6 years ago, which I never did. And then they said my knee was better, in a letter that my knee was better because I had walked in without my cane or any braces, so they took 20% of my 30% disability, from which I appealed as soon as I got the letter. I went to my doctor, which told them they will never get better, and both are bad for having to compensate for the other bad knee. How long do you have to wait for a decision? Will they wait till I'm dead? I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh at this. Will they wait till I'm dead before they make one up, or what do I need to do? I have fallen many times since then, broken bones, wrists, hands, ribs, torn ligament, and they want to replace both knees and hips from like, and he has neuropathy. Okay, so what do we tell this poor guy from Biloxi, Mississippi? Any suggestions?
Well, the first thing I would really want to make sure is that they have that he has an active open claim. What my concern is, if he is waiting this long, is if an NOD, a notice of disagreement, wasn't filed within a year after they reduced him, but more importantly, if we get a veteran that calls us and says, oh my God, they're going to reduce me because whether I've had surgery or, you know, they believe the issue is resolved, we jump on it right away, send in the NOD, because we're disagreeing with what they did. We try to send in new evidence, like this doctor's note, this veteran in Biloxi. We would have sent in the note and got maybe another physician, his VA physician or a private physician, to prove why that shouldn't have occurred. So, you know, this is a process, once again, that I'm hoping that this veteran has some assistance to get this turned around. But I'm fearful that maybe his appeal was closed.
Okay. Well, all we can do is ask him, and so I will respond to him this evening and see what we can find out. We really appreciate you sending these emails in and these phone calls because whether you believe it or not, you're not out there alone, and that there are many people that want to help and will do everything they can to help you. And they've probably run into cases that may not be as complicated as yours, but they may also have run into a situation that's exactly like yours, and so they'll know who to call and, or who to refer you to. So we encourage you to contact us or to contact Legal Help or to contact Michael Smith at the Washtenaw County Office for Veteran Services or your local VSOs. And again, we're out there, we're trying to find out who the real go-getter VSOs are out there. So if you could send us a list, if you call in from, you know, if we get a name from Mississippi, then maybe we could refer you back to that person. All right. Agreed, everybody?
I agree.
Right? All right. So we just talked about this during the break, and this was that the VA had achieved historic goal by delivering 81,000 appeal decisions to veterans in fiscal 2018. And Michael, you explained this to me in terms that even I could understand.
So the Congress passed a bill, both the House and the Senate, and President Trump signed that into law last August. It was the Appeals Improvement and Modernization Act. That new law was intended to revitalize the appeal process, to make it quicker, to address the backlog that is currently being dealt with by the Board of Veterans Appeals, and it was to really attack the how cumbersome appeals are and get at the reasons behind why there's such long waits for an appeal. So it created three lanes. There's a supplemental lane where you can add new evidence. There's a higher level review, which is a lane that you can choose where no new evidence is going to be added, but you're just basically wanting somebody else who may be a little bit more experienced to look at the decision, and they can do a de novo review and change the decision of the earlier decision maker. And then there's a direct appeal to the BVA. So,
BVA.
Which is the Board of Veterans Appeals.
Okay.
I'm sorry. So what Congress wanted was full implementation by February of 2019. What the VA did in the interim was they instituted the Rapid Appeals Management Program, or RAMP. And they allowed veterans to voluntarily choose to go into those two lanes of the three that were going to be created. And the only two that are available right now in RAMP are the supplemental lane, supplemental evidence lane, and the higher level review. What that has allowed, and with veterans volunteering to go into RAMP, is it pulled their decisions that had been waiting for 4 years, 5 years, 3 years, or however long, and get a quicker decision, almost within about 120 days of them opting into RAMP. Now, some people are a little wary of that. They don't want to go into RAMP. They thought, hey, look, I've been waiting this long. I'll just keep on waiting, because at this point they don't have a lot of trust in the VA, and mm-hmm. so they don't want anything wrong to happen with their appeals. One of my service officers, who's got quite a few appeals pending right now, he's probably got one of the largest caseloads in the office, and 8 of his veterans did choose to go into RAMP. 7 of them were positive grants, huge retroactive payments, and the one that the BVA confirmed and continued was really it wasn't a good appeal in the first place, and yet it's not dead. He did a higher level review lane. Now he can go to the supplemental lane if he wants, mm-hmm. and probably get a decision within another 120 days instead of waiting for that traditional process. Now, the direct appeal to the BVA, that will be the full implementation of the new law, and that will take effect next February. And once that is done, all three lanes will be available for appellants to use with these goals. 120 days under the supplemental review lane, 120 days under the higher level review, 12 months if you go directly to the BVA. And all hearings, local hearings, are going to pretty much be eliminated. The only time an appellant will be offered a hearing is if they directly appeal to the Board of Veterans Appeals and they opt for video teleconferencing or a travel board or to appear at the BVA in person.
Wow. Okay. So it sounds like they're attempting to streamline the whole system, but I know that there are some people out there that, as you mentioned, they don't necessarily trust the VA. Just because, and you know, it's like, you know, once burned, you don't to put your finger on the stove again. But I don't know, Caroline, what do you think about this system? I mean, I know you have a conflicting view.
I don't have a lot of faith in it. I got to be really honest. And what they've done is I could name several stations, regional offices again, that have been deemed ramp stations. Phoenix, Denver, some of your busier, bigger stations that were already maybe say 2-3 years behind. And now, if we have one of our cases of one of our veterans who has chosen not to go into ramp, your case is now sent to Houston, New York. It could go anywhere across the country because they're not reviewing those cases anymore if you're not ramp. And so I find that really frustrating, that they're doing that to the veterans, almost as a punishment because you chose not to go into the ramp program.
Okay. Well, I've heard that from other sources too, and it can be frustrating. Many of us you two are so much, you know, much more knowledgeable about how the VA works and operates and so forth. I think the VA system can be very intimidating to your average veteran, especially an older veteran who's trying to, you know, find out, oh my gosh, I've got something that I picked up 40, 50 years ago and didn't even know I had it.
Right.
And then they try to get into the system and they're lost. And so we always encourage people on this program and any program, again, is to contact a good VSO. Ask your friends, ask another veteran who have they worked with that maybe has a good reputation, or somebody that's, you know, a little bit more aggressive than others that might be able to help you out, because there are good VSOs out there and there are some that are not as great as others.
I just think it's, and I'm sorry, Dale, I can't emphasize this, to know the process, because even the best laid plans sometimes fall through the cracks. Mm-hmm. We were talking about the homeless. So the VA comes along, you're identified, you get a HUD VA voucher, and Michael explained it extremely well. But if you know the first month or the maybe 2 months needs to be paid for up front, and the great firm down in Toledo, that's what you need to do. It's a partnership to make sure every element is taken care of. I do know a veteran really well, and I think the both of you do, that he was homeless, he got the voucher, and then he had to produce $1,300 to the landlord. He didn't have that money. The landlord booted him because he didn't have the first month. Mm-hmm. If you don't understand and you try to do this on your own, it becomes very frustrating. So please get somebody that knows the process.
Yeah, one of the gentlemen that we spoke with on the radio show, he was down in Georgia, and maybe he's listening today, because we finally got to the bottom of what he could do. But what had happened was he filed a claim for two medical conditions that he has that are related to being at Camp Lejeune during that period of time where they had the contaminated water. But he filed his claim prior to the rules being promulgated. So the VA yes. denied the claim. So it was an appropriate denial. And he appealed that denial. When the rules were promulgated, he then submitted a reopened claim for those same two conditions, and the VA wouldn't process it because he has an Correct. Active appeal.
Right.
And because he had a lawyer, and the lawyer knew that the claim wasn't going to go anywhere, she withdrew her representation.
Correct.
So now his power of attorney of record is still that lawyer, because he's never submitted a change in his representative. So that's what I encouraged him to do. I encouraged him to go see a DAV service officer or someone there at the CBOC, do a new 2122 to appoint a new person and submit a statement requesting to withdraw his appeal, so that once the appeal is withdrawn, he can submit the reopened claim and finally
right.
get the benefits. And I'm hoping that's what he did.
All right.
And Michael, you know what? That example is perfect, because there are people out there, and I really mean this sincerely, that try to hang a shingle because they think this is easy. This is not easy. trying to navigate the system. And so how many times do I call you and try to brainstorm some of these cases? I mean, you really need good resources in your toolbox. But that took some digging to find out that he never changes POA.
Yes.
That attorney firm or individual didn't understand the process, what was going on. But I will tell you, and I know Michael gives this, please, please, please keep up with the NODs, keep up with them, because just like Camp Lejeune in that water, there are other issues that I know down the road, they are going to be there for you. So you've got to keep the claim open. Wouldn't you agree?
I do. That's the important part. You know, you request reconsideration. If you come into that year's deadline for submitting a notice of disagreement, get in the notice of disagreement. Yeah, if you continue to prosecute the claim and meet the VA's deadlines, then you can be assured, one, at some point they're going to make a decision. And two, you're going to get that earlier effective date if it's a grant. And I agree with you, General Fasson, that if someone is asking, when is the VA going to get around to giving me a decision? Are they going to wait till I'm dead? I agree with you. I have a sneaky suspicion that there is no active claim, because something should be happening, whether it's an appeal that's active or a reopened claim, because reopened claims and initial claims are taken. Their average days pending right now is about 110 days, 120 days. So
that's really awesome when you think about how long it used to take to get a claim.
Absolutely.
Even acknowledged.
Yes.
Sometimes that you know, if it's down to 120 days, that's pretty awesome. I got two things I wanted to mention before if somebody else does call. But number one is that this is the end, and shouldn't be the end, but the end of September, which is the end of the Suicide Prevention Month in September. But the VA marks this with a new campaign. It's called Be There. And I thought this was really cool because they've got a website that you can go to. It says, to mark the Suicide Prevention Month in September, Department of Veterans Affairs shining a light on effective ways to prevent veteran suicide. And this is their Be There campaign. And you can go to it. They have a website. It's called betheforveterans.com. And it's got a PSA in there, a short little video, and it talks about how anybody, can help a veteran who's at risk. And one of the main things it talked about was to simply be there, ask questions, see how your buddy's doing, give her a call, send her an email, get in contact with them so that you know that they're okay or that they need help. And, of course, just always remember them that they can always call the Veterans Crisis Line, which is 800-273-8255, press 1, and there'll be somebody there that you can talk to. But go to this website out there. This is for civilians and military as well, especially since the suicide numbers, not just for veterans but for civilians, seems to be creeping up again. It's called betheforveterans.com, and it's got some great information on the site that I think will be really helpful. So I would encourage people to do that. The other thing, which was really positive, which I thought was really cool, is that in this world of 3D printing, which I don't understand how that stuff works, but VA researchers are working to create a 3D printed artificial lung that may revolutionize treatment for veterans with lung disease. And this is the VA Ann Arbor's healthcare system recently announced that they are working to create a 3D printed artificial lung that could potentially revolutionize treatment of veterans affected by lung disease. That is out of this world.
Yes.
That this is a possibility. I know that 3D, at Washtenaw Community College, they have a 3D printing technology program over there, and they've been making prosthetic hands for anybody who has lost a hand. It's not the fully articulated ones, but it's just so amazing. And the idea that the VA is actually doing this in conjunction with the University of Michigan, of course, is really cool, I think. Go ahead, Caroline.
Dale, and I'm sorry, I think what you were just talking about is spectacular, but when you said, it's the end of the fiscal year, theoretically for the VA, today is the last day. We've noticed and we were told with multiple cases in the last 2 weeks that this is their end of their year, with funding, monies are going to flow a little slower. And so, Michael, I don't know if you've experienced that, but we are seeing a decision, a rating decision has been created, a decision has been made, there should be an award, but they're not being promulgated. They're not flowing as rapidly as they should go out and award the veteran their payment, their money. And so please, once again, if that is happening to you, reach out to your POA that supported you through this to make sure this doesn't get fall through the cracks.
Yeah, I agree. There shouldn't be too much of a lag between a rating decision being done and an award generation and then promulgation by the letter that goes out to notify the veteran or the claimant. My monitoring of the Veterans Benefits Management System has I've been pretty happy with the rates at which I see a rating decision one day, and then once I've seen that a rating decision has been done, those particular claims stay in my queue to monitor over the next few days to see when they're going to generate the award and then when they're going to do the letter that notifies the claimant. And they're coming within days of each other. I would say 2 or 3 days of each other. I'll see a rating decision. I'll see the award generation and then a notification letter. There's just been a few cases where I had a rating decision on a Monday, I want to say. I went in and reviewed the rating decision, clicked on reviewed so that it could go to award generation. And it wasn't until the next week that the award was done, and then about another 4 days after that before the letter was done. So I just don't know if that was a difference in a station, or I can't remember if there was a holiday involved in that process, but that one did bother me. But that's why we have to monitor.
How long does it normally?
But Michael, I'm sorry, Dale, I'm being really bad, but if you're a ramp station now, I could give you at least 20 documented cases right now. A decision was made in February. I called on Friday on one that was decided in January. Still hasn't been promulgated.
Wow.
So for all of our Michigan veterans who are listening, hoorah, Detroit is not a ramp station. If they're getting those done that quickly, yay. But I'm not seeing that across the country, Michael.
Are you talking about claims or are you talking about appeals?
I'm talking about appeals and rating decisions that I could pull out of VBMS that have been decided, they just haven't been promulgated.
So now you bring up a different story. You're absolutely right. I've seen remands come in December, saw the examinations that were ordered by the Board of Veterans Appeals done in February, and still no rating decision as of today.
Correct. And it's growing. I mean, we've got some over a year. We've got some that, you know, exams haven't been ordered. You're not following through. So, and we do monitor all of that. And so you just have to stay on top of it.
Well, that's for sure. And that's what we're going to be talking about next month. I hope we can speed up these things as we go along. So I want to thank Michael Smith here from the Washtenaw County Office of Veteran Services, retired General Carol Ann Falzone from Legal Help for Veterans. Thanks so much for being on the program today. And I encourage everybody to mark your calendar right now. It's October 28th is the next benefits program that we're going to hear on. Have on Veterans Radio, but if you could send us the emails and we'll pass them along, or I'll pass them along to Michael and Carol Ann and see if we can't help you out or at least point you in the right direction. So we greatly appreciate both of you being on the program today, as usual.
Thank you, Dale. And we will.
Thanks, Dale.
We'll probably need to cover the new rule that was promulgated the two pension programs that the VA has available,
yes.
The non-service connected disability pension for veterans and survivors pension. That new rule will go into effect October 18th. And so maybe it'll be appropriate for us to cover that at the next.
Right. Or
show.
You could just send me some information. Maybe we can mail it out. I think I have it here.
Okay.
I think. All right. Thank you both very much. Thank you, Carol Ann, very much.
Thank you.
We'll be
both.
In touch. All right. I wanted to get out a little early today because next week we've got a really great program coming up for you, and I think it's really exciting. We've got a gentleman named Kim Pham, it's P-H-A-M, from Vietnam, and he escaped Vietnam in a borrowed C-130 in 1975 with 53 passengers on board, including his family. It's an amazing story. If you're in the Ann Arbor area, you probably read about it in the local papers, but he is going to be on our program for the first half of the program, and then in the second half is a Navy veteran named Dave Bray, and his music and the thoughts of his, he's a powerful speaker and a powerful person that's going to be talking to us about his beliefs and what he thinks we can do to help the world. You're dismissed.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, held the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled